Hello, everyone. This is Will Horton, Dr. Will Horton of NFNLP and drwillhorton.com. And I get to interview Jason Lynette, somebody I've known for about 5 years now, give or take. Isn't that correct?
Probably more, but let's go with five.
Okay. And he's someone I greatly respect and admire, what he's done in the business and how he's building his business and how he's educating and teaching. And he's kind of like showing up at all the conferences and teaching and trying to share. And so today we're going to talk about a few things, and I'll let him just get started, and then we'll go from there. So welcome, Jason.
Good to see you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Outstanding. Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks again for the invite, and love this as an opportunity just to kind of chat about mindset for growth. That, you know, there's themes of this in terms of our mutual audiences here. Whether it's working with our clients and helping them to produce success, working as ourselves as individuals, how do we become better at what we do? And these are wonderful assets that don't have great value unless we're actually out there doing the work. So this mindset around growth concerning our business, concerning our own financial success, our own stability as well. So thanks again for the opportunity to be here to chat about some of these themes.
Oh, it's great. And I think that's so true, because I believe that if you don't have the mindset for growth in your personal life as change agents, which is the term I like to use for what we do, I think that's going to subconsciously transfer to your clients. So if you're stuck and you can't drop that 20 pounds, or you can't do this, you can't make money, how are you going to help somebody else do it? So it's that whole mindset thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's where even down to the personal side of it. I mean, you have your own success stories. I have my own. And it's something to be said about living the part. Not to kick off today with a slightly negative story, yet it's a fun moment. Many years ago, I used to live in Maryland, and it was the local Maryland meetup group that I used to be active within. And now I'm in Virginia and haven't been in quite some time. And that now group is, I think, disbanded. Yet it's the moment that I'll change the person's name for obvious reasons here, yet she's there. And the whole setup of this meetup was always the theme of, oh, someone needs to pick up Denise. She has a fear of driving. Someone needs to pick her up. And this is a hypnosis. This is a NLP meetup event. And I'm listening to the banter. You're already smiling, calling my next shot here. And you're just casually sitting in the back of the room, and just finally just that beautiful place in the mind of enough is enough. And just politely yet loudly enough, I chime in, you know, hypnosis is really good for fears. The same as I teach people around working with their business. I can play my game in terms of Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate, where he gets the advice, I'll tell you the future, plastics. And my variation of that is online videos, that the mechanism of producing videos and communicating directly with your audience, building rapport through the screen, is the number one strategy that has really built everything that I've built. And here I am speaking on these themes, and the hand goes up, and it's the person responding, yeah, but what if I'm not comfortable on camera? And the same little trigger in my mind goes off to go, you know, hypnosis is really good for overcoming fears. And there's laughter in the group. And no, seriously, who in this group feels they're really confident with helping people overcome that issue? Hands go up. Okay, good. Could you two work together? Because you can do something about it. Which, whether it's a little bit of self-hypnosis, I mean, as I'm here with you, I'm looking at that little green light on my laptop here, and that little green light is my very best friend, because I'm talking to you right now and speaking to this audience as well. And I know many people will be just listening to this too. But it's that simple mindset of, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be flawless as practitioners, yet we can always get that foot in the door somewhere. Here's the success that I've created. And whether it was a change by way of hypnosis or whether it was a change that was hypnotic in nature, but to have our own little success stories, our own little grab holds, these little hurdles that we've overcome over the years, that we can use that as that leverage point in terms of moving forward, and that mindset that we're not stuck, we're not stagnant, none of this stuff is concrete. It's all very flexible and all very malleable. And to view our clients with the same mindset, that we're not identifying with their problem state, we're connecting with what's great about them. How do we harness that, and how do we put that into use to turn this into a success story that it deserves to be?
Yeah, that... That's very well put.
There's the interview. I'll see you next week. Okay, that was easy.
Yeah, I'm here till Thursday. I'll just,
yeah.
And I always think one of the things that happens to a lot of us, most of us got into this world because we had some kind of shift in our own life with a hypnosis or an NLP technique or something. And then boom, we're hooked. And so we start learning. And usually we have that first breakthrough. But then the phrase I've coined lately is the paradox of knowledge. Is yep. you begin learning about the NLP and you begin learning about the hypnosis, and it seems to lose some of its magic. And then if you're stuck, and like you said, when we talked a little earlier, people that stuck and they stay stuck and they seem to take pride in their stuckness, because now I've been, I'm a hypnotist for 10 years and I've been to everybody and I still have this X, Y, or Z. So they don't experience it. And then I think that really starts that downward spiral, because you start feeling like a fraud. If I'm sitting here and I'm helping people stop smoking, lose weight, do this, but I can't drop that last 10 pounds. I can't get over my fear of working with the camera. So I think that's something that we all need to be aware of and cognizant of and begin to shift.
Although there's something interesting that happens even before that, someone who also trains a lot of people, you run into that moment where it's the brand new student of this. And I've seen this even outside of our own professions, that when someone's brand new at it, they're often in that place where they're too excited about it to be nervous about it, where they don't yet know enough to be afraid of it, which is this really beautiful place to be. That there's a story of a student of mine that at one point the friend came in and goes, "Hey, I've got this ongoing thing that my doctor can't explain. And if I look it up on WebMD, it just simply says this about it, that it says it's psychosomatic. It says it's caused by, this expectation and the anxiety cycle and all of that." And the neighbor, the friend goes, "I know all of this consciously, yet I just can't get it to kick in, because once I realize this, probably this issue will go away." And the student of mine, his name was Christopher, and sadly he passed away a few years ago. But it was a moment where he actually just says, "Okay, well, what if I just hypnotize you and read the WebMD description and let that actually sink into your unconscious mind? Let's do that." And they did that, and that worked. And I love that, because again, it wasn't this, what was the phrase that you used in terms of paralysis of knowledge?
The paradox of knowledge.
Paradox of knowledge, yeah. Where we'd be in our heads where we have all this knowledge, and yes, the knowledge is good. Yes, continue to learn as much as you can. Yet when we know all this stuff, we get to that place of going, "But that won't work because of this. That won't work because of that. Well, what if this happens instead?" And it's to have that balance of just this, well, let's bring it into our NLP terms, just bring it into that curiosity of, well, how does this happen? How do we get in there? How do we take the same story that's every reason to go into the problem and use the same story as every reason to go out of it? So just to, again, stretch that knowledge, so that mindset towards growth, that sometimes we don't have to have the exact answer, and that's an answer alone, just to kind of throw something out there and see what happens.
Oh yeah, and you put it brilliantly when you said too, it's you don't have to be perfect. People start thinking, "I have to be at the ideal weight to do this." Or I always think of, I know you work some with athletes too, and you're an athlete. I saw you did double your body weight.
Woo! Yeah.
That
was a deload week. It's actually three times at this point, but we'll settle with twice.
but then people think that, well, I have to know something about the sport to help somebody with that sport. And I always tell the story, I was at a psych convention, because as you know, I'm a psychologist, I was out in California. It was a sports psychology thing. And the lady that was for many years the sports psychologist for the San Francisco 49ers, especially when they were good, she would make the comment, she hated football, thought it was a stupid game. But she was just working with their mindset, especially overcome. Her big thing was, guy gets injured, how do you step back on the field with those 300-pound animals and play the game? And she goes, that's what I work with. Whether I like it is irrelevant. I understand how the process works. And I thought she put it brilliantly, right? And for us, one of the best people I know with weight loss, they're retired or they passed away now, but they were always a few pounds overweight. But at one point, they were 100 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So they were their own best example. And they would always say, well, I'm still working on it. And they were doing this, and they were, you know, so
look, I think what was it? The classic quote was that who sold more diet books, Dr. Phil or Paris Hilton, which those really are out of date references now, I'm realizing. No,
damn,
but to look
internet,
at it from the, what's that?
Damn internet, all this. Yeah,
exactly. No, so the mindset again of where we're coming into it from, that it's that story going into it. Yet in many ways, there's a phrase I keep coming back to, which this could be perceived negatively in terms of our process, but it's really not, that in many counts, there only can be one expert in the room, or there only needs to be one expert in the room. So this story is not a slight of the psychological field, but it's the story of a 14-year-old who is about as professional as a golfer as he could be at 14 years old, that the parents dropped several thousands of dollars to travel across the country, bring him to this golf psychologist that they're now in the room and giving him advice on how to swing, which that is not the role that he was there for. Clearly, for him to be there at this level of professional ability at that young age, kid knew how to swing the club. The issue was, you're standing over the ball. How do you feel? How would you rather feel? That's what the work needed to be addressing. So it's where I'm always in this mindset of I'm amused by negative language used positively. And granted, this very often is only my internal dialogue, that even if it's a sport that now I know a lot about, I play dumb. You know, I assume nothing. So even where nowadays I've got an interest in powerlifting and strength training, and I've actually seen powerlifters as clients, and I can fully identify with the moment that suddenly they're reaching a new strength plateau, which is involving this extra plate. The weight's only going up about 5 pounds when they're lifting it. Yet because in their head, oh my God, now it's over this benchmark, they can't get it off the floor. So it's about breaking through that mindset. So even though I've got my own knowledge of these things, again, my mindset, my internal dialogue is I just play dumb. So what are you doing there? Where are your feet? What's going through your mind? What are you visualizing? What's the dialogue in your mind? And gathering all of their own organic representations of what that experience is. So it's where years ago, on the business side of things, I was featured in a local newspaper that does a different edition for every local city. And Fairfax County is like 25 individual cities. They print a different version for every city. So the story goes that they decide, let's do a feature on Jason and Virginia hypnosis. But let's not print it in Alexandria, because that might look like advertising. That's not what this is about. So they print it in another city 15 miles away, which a gymnastics coach reads it. And this is now dating back to like 2012. And I haven't had a month since then that I haven't had some sort of teenage gymnast with a fear of flipping backwards as a result of this guy reading that article for many years now. And it's where I tell them, I'm going to call stuff by the wrong name. Just laugh at me. Have fun with that. It's where I finally got a tumbler. There's no apparatus. I don't have to know any terminology. Yet still, even though I have knowledge of that sport now, even though I've never done it myself, I politely make fun. Okay, so you're on a high beam, 6 feet up in the air on a 3-inch wide piece of wood, and you're afraid of flipping backwards. That's called Darwinism. You're supposed to be afraid of that. Though you're a person who is trained to know how to do this, and that's why you're the one up there doing it. So you have the skill, and you wouldn't, there's an opening frame that I give them, which starts off with a little bit of a self-deprecating story that, you know, when I was 5 years old, my parents put me on a soccer team, and I was so bad at soccer, my only goal was to kick the ball. Forget getting a goal, forget passing it, forget assisting. I just wanted to kick the ball at least once. So the day I kicked the ball twice, triumph. So the story goes that I was so bad at soccer that about 2 months later, there I was taking piano lessons. So my parents never thought, and I'm saying this to the kid, usually 8, 9, 10 years old or so, often teenage years, mostly for me. I even bring this in as I'm working with the pro level athlete, that my parents would have never called someone like me nowadays as the hypnotist and said, Jason's really bad at soccer. Could you work with him? So the only reason you're here in front of me right now is that you are already exceptional at this. And we just have to find that place in your mind to remind you of these skills and abilities you already have and take those strengths and now make them even stronger. And I'm smiling and I'm nodding and I'm saying, sound good. And they're going, oh yeah, I get it now. So it's, again, that mindset, there only needs to be one person in the room who is an expert. So it's where you as the practitioner, whether psychologist, whether counselor, whether coach, whether NLP practitioner, whether hypnotist, you are in that position of authority that you're the one who knows how to guide this process based on the information that they're sharing in a client-centered way. And at the same time, they, in many ways, they don't realize it yet, they're the expert on both their problem as well as their solution. So it's you as that skilled practitioner asking the right questions, putting the right process in the right order to help facilitate that change from where they were now to where they'd want to be. So on both counts, there's that aspect of just simply being in that open nature of going, well, let's see where this goes. We know we can go there together. You would not be here if on some level you didn't know you could do this. Let's go there now.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, and you bring up a couple good points, you know, about the mindset, and you hit a plateau and what you got to do to break through. I'd like you to relate that to something we're both passionate about, you know, the problem in our field of NLP hypnosis, counseling and psychology. I can tell you they have the same problems because they're going through a lot of changes about the mindset you need to break those plateaus, to actually make good money in this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as we were talking before we started, in some cases, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it becomes like a multi-level marketing thing where it's like, we'll just keep telling the same stuff, even though it doesn't work. We'll just keep saying that. And then we see people drop away. And I think when I do get people to call me up, or I know when they call you up, they've already jumped that level. They're the type, like your gymnast, to look, I'm good at what I do. I just need some help to do the business side of it, or this. Mm-hmm. So just share with that and how you got into it.
Yeah, the sort of opening frames that I'd give it are two mindsets that I found as these two mindsets are in place, everything becomes a much better conversation. That on one side of things, that we're a community that oftentimes would like to play the game of that doesn't work. I've tried that before. That didn't work for me. The last time we were together was the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention up in Marlborough, Massachusetts, back in early August. And I was actually there doing a 2-hour presentation on Facebook marketing. And my favorite thing about that was even before I presented it, I had people coming up to me, even accosting me in the bathroom after all the business was done, saying that, oh yeah, I tried that. That doesn't work. And I'm there thinking, I'm here to actually teach what I've done and how I've made it work. Oh no, that doesn't work. And I had people arguing with me even before they saw the presentation, almost as if seeking some sort of self-validation, that the pat on the back that, oh yeah, I tried that, that didn't work. Someone saying, yeah, that doesn't work. You can't run weight loss ads, when the big feature of my presentation was unpacking a very specific weight loss client booking strategy that I had done, which briefly, the other framework is when you try to sell to everybody, you end up selling to nobody. So I had a client who was diabetic, and after we had worked together, actually he volunteered, you want me to do a video testimonial? A lot more people need to know of this service. Well, if you insist, let me grab the camera, drag me by the arm. And he's sitting there and he's talking about his sugar cravings were eradicated. He lost a bit of weight. He left out the colorful expletives that he had used in our process, that he's a guy that the issue of the blood sugar levels being high is really dangerous for the diabetic. But then again, the blood sugar levels being low is also dangerous. This guy figures out the diabetic hack that he can buy the glucose lozenges, which are really expensive from a CVS, from a Walgreens, or two Werther's Originals caramels are a whole lot cheaper at Costco, and he's set. And he points his finger at me at one point and goes, you fill in the blank expletive. the candies tasted like Brussels sprouts. So in a very positive way, he's sitting there telling his story. I'm diabetic, and this is what Jason helped with, and here are the results. If you're looking for this service, consider Jason Lynette, Virginia Hypnosis. Through the wonders of the interwebs, through the wonders of Facebook, I was there promoting that video to people in a 10-mile radius around my office who had expressed interest in organizations related to diabetes. laser-focused message, laser-focused audience, the phone was ringing like crazy. I have to cycle this advertisement, though, because it goes to such a small audience that if I overload it and keep it running, it's too much of a churn rate. So I turn it on, turn it off for a while, turn it on, turn it off for a while. So what I'm getting at here is really this mindset that it's very rarely the platform, it's almost always the strategy. So people play this game of that doesn't work, that doesn't work. It's kind of like where we talked about a little while ago in terms of that that paradox of knowledge, that we're in our heads going, this won't work, this won't work, this won't work, when it's better to ask the question of how do I make that work better? How do I make that even more effective? How do I take the strategy that in the hypnosis world, there's all sorts of techniques that are often polarized, whether it's hypnotic age regression, or even it's a fast phobia cure, or let's use updated language, a fast fear release. So people would say, oh, that's not good, that's not good. Better to take that step back and ask, how do I make that work even better? So some people would say print advertising is dead. Well, again, how do I change the strategy to guide them into a process to let people metaphorically and literally raise their hand and say, that's what I need. Let's begin a conversation. Notice what's different there. Let's begin a conversation. The other side of it too is that none of it really works until you put it into use. You and I share some fitness interest here, and I'm in a gym one time with a friend of mine that owns a local franchise of personal training, and he's gesturing to all of his equipment, and he goes, you know what I like about what I do? All this stuff works. You just have to use it. Yet it's that mindset around how do I make this work better and what's the strategy that's going to make this fit? And simply by testing, that's where we find that result. So people would be in that analysis paralysis at times of going, should I charge this? Should I charge that? Should I promote here? Should I promote there? You've probably seen some content from Gary Vaynerchuk.
No.
Oh, you got to. Massive, amazing social media guy. And there's a moment I was actually at a marketing convention, and it's a really cool story where he opened up for a Q&A, and he teaches online marketing. He teaches social media. He's got some great books out there. Check him out. And someone asked the question of, should I advertise on Yelp? And he answers in a beautiful, nondescript way. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who have had good success with that. In the fact that it opens them up to a bigger audience, it hides the ads for your competition, and I know some people who have done well advertising on Yelp. On the other hand, there are some concerns around ethics. There's a whole issue that sometimes they're hiding reviews, and people have tried to indirectly prove that if you're not paying them, they hide your reviews more frequently, yet there is a truth to if you only have one person who's left one review, it doesn't have this high of ethics and quality to it. So they're cautious around it. But then he pivots the answer to a beautiful place where he asks the person a couple of questions. What would the advertisement cost you for the year? The person responds about $5,000, which is what I've heard from them as well, which full disclosure, I'm not paying for Yelp right now. He asks the follow-up question. How long have you spent weighing this idea as to whether or not you're going to advertise with this? And the person goes, at least 2 years. The next question, can you afford to lose that $5,000? And the person immediately responds, yeah, business is going great. That's not too big of an expense. And the answer was, and I'll summarize it here, I'll paraphrase it, it is probably worth the micro investment of the money for the macro learning of what either works or doesn't work to simply move on. So it's where oftentimes, I mean, I recently taught a 2-day workshop just on creating products and online marketing. It was sort of a live version of my digital product called Hypnotic Business Systems. And I had someone in the room that I've known this guy for several years now, at least 5 or 6 years. And there finally had to be the call out moment of, you've been talking about this one product for all this time and you haven't yet recorded the single element of it. Is it that you don't know how to do it, or is it that you're really not passionate on this specific project and you need to put your focus somewhere else? And he responds, bingo, I want to create this instead. So it's where, again, to follow that path of what's the knowledge that you have, but at the same time, It's very rarely the platform. It's almost always the strategy. All this stuff works. You just have to test it for yourself. Though at the same time, you're right about that MLM critique where I'm not an anti-MLM person as I'm sitting here with my Arbonne skin cream over there. I don't sell it. I use it. It's phenomenal. Yet there's too many people in these models that are just the, you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of money. And it's the, tell me more about the product. Tell me, sell me the sizzle, sell me the benefits before you give me all the feedback as to where it's going to go. Though there's something to be said around, you know, don't go out there trying to reinvent the wheel and trying to build it all from scratch. You always want to find someone who has done the things that you have done yourself and use our language here, model that excellence, find what's working and replicate it for yourself, model it into your experience rather than going, it's my phrase around back to Facebook, the social media advertising. Why are most businesses on Facebook? Because they think they're supposed to be, as opposed to having a specific strategy, a specific mindset, a specific goal. They're just doing that because they think that's what they're supposed to do. Behind everything, there's got to be a strategy behind it. And again, simply find out what's working in your industry. Find someone who's done the things that you want to do and follow their path.
Perfect. That brings up two more questions. One is, you kind of answered, which is, I was talking to someone and they used the phrase, it's better to go an inch wide and a mile deep than a mile wide and an inch deep if you're going to focus on something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and because he said he heard a lady talk who made $3 or $4 million in a year with a product on training your dog.
Yep.
Specific thing with training your dog. And that's what she said. I only do this. But she learned how to market to that specific niche, which anybody with dogs, or like you and I, if you're into powerlifting, if you got that specific niche, you'll spend a lot of money if you fix whatever my niche problem is.
The classic example, this is not original to me. A lot of people share this one too. The wonders of the internet. If you had a product that was specific to people in Phoenix, Arizona, who liked peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, we can get you in front of that audience of 1,500 people within minutes. The world has become a lot smaller.
Yeah. And it's funny because you and I, you know,
both. By the way, hypnopbj.com. I'm going to buy that as soon as we wrap up.
It's
never mind.
Those of us in NLP, we talk about modeling and we do all that. But yet, when it comes to this aspect, we don't seem to do it. We don't go and like look at like what ClickFunnels has figured out on how to hack. Okay, what works? I'm going to figure out what they do and I'm going to model it. Sounds better than anything else. But it's like they've already proved what works. Mm-hmm. And you and I know in the hypnosis world, I'm always looking for, look, if you show me a technique or a process that works, I want to do that. I don't want to go invent stuff from scratch. But unfortunately, in our field, we get a lot of people who know, like you say, first they're going to tell you why it doesn't work, and then they're going to figure out a way to do it on their own.
Which on that note, I mean, even in terms of the change process, realize that the word hypnosis is barely not even 150 years old. And most of our terminologies of conscious mind, unconscious mind are only about 100 years old. And all of these techniques that we hold to be so critical and so ritualistic that you have to do in this order, it's all relatively new. So it's where in my classes, I'll show a clip from the documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know? And it's this little chunk in the middle that's perfect. And as I describe it, it does an amazing job of describing hypnosis without using the word hypnosis. But it's talking about all the structure of the neurology of the mind and how thoughts are formed, how we break patterns. And there's a student one time where they make the statement, commonly held statement, that the unconscious mind does not know the difference between a strongly imagined situation and reality. And someone raises their hand and goes, how do they prove that? And I reference that, okay, well, here's these studies where, you know, someone was angry in a situation, but then later telling the story of being angry and the same parts of the brain were lighting up. Here's this other research involving PET scans and look at the wall and see a red dot now being hypnotized and imagining there's a red dot and the way that things line up. Though at the same time, realize these terminologies and these technologies are barely 100 years old. So give us that other 100 years and we'll be talking about it in much better ways. So as a person who enjoys infomercials way too much, 3 in the morning, The moment where you're watching the person scraping the eggs off the pan because they're too sticky, and suddenly they pull out the Copper Chef pans, and my audiences know that I love the Copper Chef pans. I do not sell them. I do not work for that company yet. They're incredible. And they're showing you can melt a solo cup and then pour it out and it doesn't stick, as if that was something you really needed to do, but you could if you wanted to. And it's that phrase of every infomercial, there's got to be a better way. So it's where to have this malleable, flexible nature to all that we do. I mean, even on the business side of things, again, I'm amused by internal dialogue of negative language used positively. And one of my phrases is to have an ongoing dissatisfaction with my satisfaction. So here's a moment that I announce a class and it fills up. I mean, the event I just did in Vegas, we sold out at 30 people, all at the full amount. And there I was, and here's this experience of going, this is how we can do it better. So it's a playful kind of dissatisfaction. It's almost that moment of the one-upping. In the strength world, you hit that new personal record and to realize, okay, cool, now that I've done that, that means I can work towards this. So it's this mindset of always leveraging everything that you've done. So remember a little while ago, I told a story about a newspaper article that happened in 2012, and here we are in 2017. It's almost exactly 5.5 years later after that news story was printed, and I'm still using that to grow my business. Everything you ever do is an asset. So again, to track, here's this testimonial, here's this news story, here's this article that you wrote, here's this video that you did, here's this interactive interview that you did with Will Horton just before a hurricane hit his village. Here's everything that you've done. And you can use that as that stepping stone to move forward to that next pace. So it's to always think bigger about what's possible, where I've got a fully packed schedule at the moment. I'm looking at scheduling appointments about 3 or 4 weeks out as of right now. Yet it's that mindset of here's this other project that I want to launch, which just went through a little bit of a facelift on the internal side of things of the design. I'll leave out the details of this, but the terminology that I was calling the project before turned out to be a very specific medical term for a part of a woman. And I went, oh dear, that is the number one Google result when you search this. And I abandoned the name of the project and now called it something else. A little bit of market research would have been helpful a couple of months back when I paid way too much money for the web domain, which I'm now reaching out to those medical communities going, hey, I've got the .com if you want it. But again, this place of the office is packed, the classes are filling, the products are selling. Yet how can I raise that bar? How can I push it to that next level? In the magic world, I had an interest in my teenage years of doing magic. And the phrase in that field was often the amateur changes their act, the professional changes their audience. So you're right about that laser focus where we can niche something down. And it's simply to take the advice that we all say to ourselves and give to our clients, get that one thing that you do really, really well and sharpen that tool.
Cool. Well, and the other thing to kind of begin to wrap up is the way information is coming at us so fast, what works today will work for a little while, then it's going to shift. And I use the Blockbuster analogy. I'm still beating up on the Blockbuster, they could have owned Netflix. They would have been the primary investor in Facebook. You read everything they could have done, but they didn't stay current. And one of my big drives, especially in the last couple of years, because hanging out with you and some other people, and my daughter, she's a IT person in your area up there in DC, is to stay current with how things are, like Facebook and the Facebook marketing and Google and da 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 da, and to do that. So could you share with us how you're experiencing all these rapid changes and how you're guiding it? And I know one of the things you do well is then you teach it to people, because there's really no competition.
There's not enough people out there. There's enough people out there who can benefit from these services than there are people to help and serve them. And again, it's not the platform, it's the strategy. A big part of what I do nowadays, when I was first getting into all of this, I was hearing the dialogue around, it's only good if you're in the room. You need to be in the room with the people. Otherwise, it's not quality. They have to be this many live hours in the room. And I bought into that Kool-Aid. I drank it for quite a number of years. And the experience simply was to realize that there's some elements of training that don't require you actually being there in the room. For the first time I taught a business training, within the first 3 hours, it was information overload. And I went, okay, I'm teaching to the cameras. And there just happened to be some live breathing bodies in the room. So to have that ability that, you know, if it's a business training, okay, you've got this device off to the side, watching the step-by-step tutorial, reading through the done-for-you marketing campaign that I give people, and they're there on their own device, programming it at the same time, learning how to do it. When to be in that classroom, in that formal education environment, which is so much better. I'm a fan of the phrase in the hypnosis profession, we don't need any more scripts, we need transcripts. So it's where, as part of one of the educational products that I run, I'm with permission, of course, many clients, when they come in, I mention this project and they're very happy, surprisingly, to sign a waiver. And I'm providing real client sessions for people to model, you know, and they're fully transcribed. I do the whole unpacking of it afterwards, explaining, well, we talked about this during the intake at the beginning, and that's why I use this strategy, which, I mean, there's thousands of people in my digital audiences. And they won't fit in this room that I'm in right now with my chair over there. So it's, again, that mindset of challenging the model. In terms of the bigger picture of things, it used to be very pointed, here's my product, you buy it, thank you, good night. And we used to think about social media as being just like Facebook or MySpace back in the day, or Twitter, or here's my members.aol.com website. And I had one. So the real phrase is that nowadays, all of it, every bit of it is social media. All of it, your website, articles that would be written about you, articles that you write, your reviews that are there online. You know, it's all social. I've been yelled at in my local Staples office supply store because I'm in the store. And nowadays they do price match. They recently changed their policy on that. But I'm looking at buying something and I've got the Amazon app out and I'm scanning the barcode, not to play the price match game, which absolutely do that because they match the price now. But what am I doing? I'm looking at these peer reviews that are online. I needed to buy, this is me being slightly out of date, but I have a landline here at my office. So I could pick up my landline, and this is a joke from the comedian John Mulaney. I could pick up the landline and call the Blockbuster Video and ask if they have the VHS copy of Home Alone 2, which is a very out-of-date statement sentence. Thank you, John Mulaney. But this this moment where I'm comparing the cordless phones and going, which one has the best reception? Everything is social now. So it's where to not sell products, to not sell sessions, instead to either sell solutions, or even better, the end product being community. The same way that someone trains with you and they're now a part of the NFNLP and they're joining a family, they're joining a group of people that there's support inside of it. The same way that the main training products that I have, they're communities. Rather than being single point sale, they're recurring monthly memberships for the simple reason that there's content being added to it at all times. And the new content is driven by the membership. So someone says, hey, this new module on giving live talks and getting people into your systems for booking more clients, that's great. But could you do a little bit more about offers that I could give people so they sign up for my mailings? Well, we can add that content in. The same way that there's a Facebook community with inside of these too. So as people join, here's the private Facebook group. So that word community, this is the most trending thing right now. So it's the aspect of I do my Work Smart Hypnosis podcast featuring such outstanding guests as Will Horton. Hey, buddy. And it's the fact that people are having a continuing conversation with me. They are interacting with me. So I'm at a convention and they're entering into a dialogue that they've already been having with me and I'm just entering into live. So it's that feeling of being a part of something. So while all of our wonderful little gadgets make it so that we don't have to make eye contact with people so much, and people are jaywalking in the streets, staring at their devices, risking life and limb of getting run over because they're live tweeting the fact that they're jaywalking while they're getting jaywalking and not seeing the car running them over. It's another Gary Vaynerchuk reference that, you know, the businesses that are pouring all of their money into billboards when the person's in the passenger seat of the car looking at their cell phone. And don't worry, the driver's doing the same thing. So it's all social now. So this mindset of connecting with a community, that as much as these devices have made it so much easier to look things up, to access things, to go, I'm going to be out of town, let me see if a flight's available, let me change my hotel, we're in Vegas for an event, let me go see what shows are available tonight, let me see if there's a coupon code for this pair of shoes I want to order. It's brought our world smaller, but it's also opened up this need to be a part of something. So it's to really drive everything towards you're joining this community, you're being a part of it. And again, that interaction, that's not going away.
Good. All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for sharing with us. I know you've got a couple more things today, interviews and clients. So what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Easiest way to track me down is the Work Smart Hypnosis website. Work Smart Hypnosis is an ongoing podcast that I do. It goes out every Thursday featuring conversations with top professionals in our field, also business advice, techniques for change, and that goes out every Thursday. It is available on every podcast medium, so Android, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, YouTube, it's everywhere. And check out the two communities that I run. One is called Hypnotic Workers. It's the entire hypnosis training library that I do. This details is all the way on Work Smart Hypnosis, or just go directly to hypnoticworkers.com. Or on the business side of things, again, rather than reinvent the wheel, this is my digital brain dump of everything that I've done to build multiple six-figure businesses within this industry. So it's done for you marketing campaigns, step-by-step tutorials, and that's over at hypnoticbusinesssystems.com. And I haven't had the gremlins in the back program this, but if you type in all caps, NFNLP, when either getting workers or business systems, that'll knock 10% off as well. So NFNLP, all caps, either of those programs will give you a nice hefty discount on those two as cool. A thank you.
All right, and it'll be in the description. You'll be able to see how to get a hold of Mr. Jason. So I'd like to thank you for sharing with us, and I hope you have a wonderful day.